Did you find yourself sort of relaxing and calming down, maybe even swaying a little bit as we sang Silent Night? Anybody? I know I did. It is amazing how often in Scripture new things start off from that place of silence. We hear in Genesis that in the beginning there was formless void, and the Spirit of the Lord, the breath, the Spirit, the wind of God moving over the face of the deep. All of that silence was then broken with God saying, "Let there be light." John talks about in the beginning was the Word. And before that, there would have been silence. We just heard about Elijah getting ready to do some mighty prophet work. And it started with the sound of sheer silence. I think that too often we, especially preachers, mind you, we fill our lives with a lot of words, with a lot of noise. Sometimes it's words that we're speaking. Sometimes the noise is just in our head. Some old conversations, some old remorse, some fear for what's going to be. All of that fills up our mind. And as a nation, we love the doing. We love the action, the getting, the making, the acquiring, the gathering, and just doing, doing, doing. But not so much in Scripture. Jesus goes off, sits by himself in prayer before various times of his ministry. He starts his whole ministry in a 40-day fast in silence. Silence is really important. And it seems to me that it's the continuation of the United Church of Christ's slogan, "God is still speaking." And I don't know, you folks are all familiar with that statement and wearing the comma as a way of reminding folks that never put a period where God has put a comma. I think that that's the follow-up. God is still speaking. So, shut up and listen. Clergy don't like it when I say it that way. I'm not sure that you folks will, but I want to make that point really, really clear. Shut up and listen. Now, Silent Night, when we sing at Christmas Eve, it ends with a sound of almost sheer silence. And that glow, that quiet, that calm. I really like that. And it's from that that the whole rest of the church year flows. From that silent, that sense of holiness in that silence. And silent is oftentimes viewed or experienced as a holy time. And that night would not have been all that silent. Bethlehem was crowded, overflowing with people. Where they were was a barn. Barns at night can be pretty quiet, but still, at some point, that baby was going to cry. I know the hymn says that no crying he made, but I don't believe that. And certainly, you know, out in the countryside, the hillside, the angels were whooping it up with the shepherds. So there was not a lot of raw, sheer silence. There couldn't have been. But it was a holy night, and we envision it as silent because for us, those two things seem to go together. And keep hold of that sense of silence on Christmas Eve when we sing this. I think that our worship life, our faith journey, our discipleship needs more silence. Mine does. And I really would like to help you build your appreciation and experience of silence. Because it's in that that we can grow most deeply. I love talking about the God I find in Scripture, the way of Christ that is so clearly laid out there to me. I love sharing that. That excites me. But to be honest, what I think we all need is to sometimes shut up and listen. And that's not something that's easy to do. It's something that we have to learn, practice, get into the habit of. Because it's that time with God that is a quality time with God. Now, just a quick step back. Not all silence is holy time. You already know that if you've ever had the silent treatment. If you've ever been with somebody who won't talk about something that needs to get talked about. My ministry started in the 80s, and in the 80s, HIV/AIDS advocates and workers had a slogan, and it was absolutely true. Silence equals death. Because if they did not talk, they did not share, they did not encourage, they did not teach, people were going to die. So, I'm not talking about that sort of silence. I'm talking more about the silence that Job had before he started talking. All right? A couple of weeks ago, we heard about Job having this conversation with his three friends who had come to comfort him, Larry, Curly, and Mo. And before that conversation started, Job sat in silence. It's important to have something to say. And I think the only way we can figure out what to say is if we are silent. And if we want to have God help us to know what to say, well, God is still speaking, so we're going to have to shut up and listen. Which isn't easy. Now, Elie Wiesel, who survived the Holocaust in Germany, says, always take sides. Always take sides. Because to not take a side is to sort of take a side and allow things to happen. So, don't keep silent, but approach silence and let that be where and how you form what you value. Let that be where you experience God. Let that be the time where you sink in deep and allow God to speak to you, to let things clarify, to shed and scrape away some of the, all the words are not really good words, unnecessary stuff that can clutter our brains and our minds. Just drop them off into that silence and let God speak. We tend to think of prayer as a time of talking with God, and it is. Some folks are very formal about it. Some folks are a little bit more informal. But it's certainly that time with God that, frankly, we tend to just talk. We got a lot to say, so we say it. But that's not the fullness of prayer. The fullness of prayer is talking and then shutting up and listening. I hope I can help you folks to develop that sort of prayer life, that sort of awareness and appreciation of just being still and silent and attentive to God. I have an image of the perfect relationship with God. And I hope that we can build to that. My image of the perfect relationship with God is early morning, sitting down with a cup of coffee with God across the table, maybe saying good morning, but not needing to say anything else, and just allowing that time to be there, letting it be a comfortable time, not one where we feel like we have to jump up and do this or jump up and do that or say this or apologize for that. We just get to enjoy and wallow in that time, listening to the early morning birds, enjoying a really good cup of coffee, and just letting that time be a silent morning, a holy morning. And from that, we can listen. And from that, we can know what to say when we feel like something needs to be said. And if you're struggling with what can you do, what can you say, how do we deal with all of this, God is still speaking. And my advice is, shut up and listen. Amen. Communion here is an open communion. Everybody is not just welcome, but invited and encouraged to be a part of it. Gluten-free bread is saying that too. And I too would invite you, because sometimes it's in this service of communion that we have a chance in the midst of the comings and the goings, the standings and the singings and the responses, to be kind of quiet, almost silent. And we might encounter God right here in this memorial feast. And that's always my hope. Not that we complete the ritual, not that we do what we need to do, but a space is created where you can sense God. Let us pray. Come now, O holiest God, and be with us. Be also with these elements. Allow this juice and this bread to remind us of you being alive physically and alive spiritually. Let this bread and this juice remind us that the more we have you in us, the stronger we are for the living of these days. Come, Lord, bless this bread and this cup. Amen. There are many meals in Scripture, and the one that we look to on days like this is the meal where Jesus said, "This is me, broken for you." It's a constant reminder that sometimes things are broken. But that doesn't mean there won't be healing, and that the healing might not come out of what is broken. It's the same night where, amongst all the things that happened, he also said, "This cup, it's my life, and it gets poured out for you." And the more you think about that, the more amazing the whole thing is. Broken, poured out for us. And ministering to you in the name of Jesus, we offer you this bread and this cup. Come, the table is ready for you. Let us join our hearts and our spirits in prayer and say together, our words are often inadequate to express our gratitude. Please, Lord, see into our hearts and witness the truth and the depth of our thanks. Watch, Lord, and see our thanks in acts of love. Amen.